Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 100 years of advanced medicine and exceptional care.
Now, delighted to welcome back Dr. David Buckley from the Kerry Skin Clinic here in Tralee. David, you're welcome.
Thank you.
We asked you to come back. As I mentioned already, we had such a huge response to your last slot on our show. Loads of people getting in touch with skin complaints. I had no idea skin problems were so common.
Yeah, I think I said the last day when probably everybody has something, whether it's a bit of athlete's foot or a bit of acne or dandruff or a mole or a wart or whatever, you know. In fact, I think they've done studies to show that maybe up to 50% of the population have a skin problem that's worthy of attention. That's not just like a little bit of dandruff that you'd use Head and Shoulders for, but something a little bit more worthy of attention from either a pharmacist or a doctor, you know. And, you know, your own local GP can manage the vast majority of skin complaints, you know. But yeah, it's very common, and actually quite often we see people come in with a skin problem and the problem they present with is not necessarily serious. They have a little, you know, stable mole or whatever, but we often do a full skin check and we find lots of other things that they maybe weren't even aware of, a mole on their back or a little, you know, a sun damage on their scalp that they couldn't even see, you know. So you know, mostly people come in with one problem and go out with two or three, but these are problems that are fixable and manageable, you know.
Very good. Well, let's get down to business because we've so many queries for you, David. We'll start with this one from a lady in her 80s. She said she's getting brown spots over her eyes to the side of her temple. What could they be?
Yeah. When you get a question like that, actually, it's a little bit like an exam question, right? First of all, it's a lady, so, you know, and women get different things than men. And then, of course, the age group, right? So, for instance, if she said she was 18, I'd be thinking, you know, whatever it is, it can't be serious, right? But obviously she's 80. And with 80-year-olds, you know, serious problems are much more common and prevalent, particularly skin cancers and so forth. Now, I'm not saying that this lady has skin cancer, but it's just the way you have to think, you know. The older you are, the higher the risks of skin cancer, both of melanomas, which are the most lethal ones, and what we call the non-melanoma skin cancers. These are less dangerous, but nonetheless far more common as we get older. And that's as a result of years and years of being outdoors, mostly because the sun is the biggest risk factor, you know, and particularly the head and neck, because that obviously gets exposed more than your back or your chest and so forth, right? In women, actually, the lower legs is also a high risk area because they wear skirts, and men tend not to wear shorts too much in Ireland because our weather isn't good enough. But we see a lot of problems with sun damage and perhaps even skin cancer in the lower legs in women, whereas that's quite rare in men. Now, obviously, this kind of brown spots on a lady's face, there's not only do you get skin cancers as you get older, you also get a lot of wear and tear and kind of incidental kind of freckling and mottling of the skin. And again, this is sun-related, but not necessarily dangerous, right? So, you know, anything that's on the skin that's new or that's changing, then we're interested in it. If it's sitting there for years and years, it's not changing, it doesn't matter what it looks like or, you know, what it is, it's hardly going to be a skin cancer, because skin cancers don't sit there stable and just do nothing. They grow and develop and evolve, and eventually they can get maybe sore or tender or crusty or weepy or even bleed, and these are not good signs for anything, right? Now, there's obviously less serious problems and non-cancerous lesions that can become sore and bleed as well, but you'd be more suspicious if it's sore or bleeding. So if it's sitting there for months and years and not changing, then it's probably just a little bit of blotchy pigment, what we call solar elastosis or solar lentigos. These are sun freckles, which are very common in that age group. But, you know, obviously,
get it checked out.
Yeah, if she's worried, she has to go to her GP. And often the GPs then can struggle because you need special magnifying lenses and handheld microscopes called a dermatoscope, which you can examine these lesions now in the skin without actually taking a biopsy and sending it to the lab. It can be examined as the patient sits in the chair with special instruments. And we can photograph them and track them and follow them up and see if they're changing or not. But if it's a brown lesion on the skin and it's changing, then you have to make sure it's not something nasty like a skin cancer. You know, they're still relatively rare. There's lots of other brown things on the skin that are not skin cancer. I'm not trying to alarm this lady, but I think, you know, if it's changing, she needs to show it to her GP.
Okay, very good. Cara Savine, listener, says, I have rosacea and it's very bad on my nose and chin area. Very red with spots like marks. I have to wear makeup every day. It's so embarrassing. I've tried bimycin capsules. But I really need a doctor's advice. I'm not sure what those capsules are, but maybe you do.
Yeah, I do. Did it say a man or a woman?
A lady, I think.
Didn't give her age, no?
No, she didn't.
Okay. Again, well, rosacea, it's a good topic to discuss because it's so prevalent in Ireland and especially the west coast of Ireland, right? In fact, in America, they call rosacea the curse of the Celts. So it's the Irish who go to America, live in the southern states of America where there's a lot of sun, they get a lot of rosacea, so it's the curse of the Celts. So it's a red rosacea, rosy red, a red kind of face with pimples like acne pimples. So it looks like teenage acne, but it's usually in the older age group, kind of 30s, 40s, 50s, that kind of age group. And it's confined to the face. So like acne, you can get on your chest and back, whereas rosacea is pretty much always on the center of the face, the nose and the cheeks and perhaps the chin and the forehead, center of the face. So you have a red kind of flushing, kind of blushing face. And then if that wasn't bad enough, you get the pimples and spots as well. So it's very common in Irish people because we have Celtic skin, the majority of us, and we have a lot of sun exposure because it's the ultraviolet light that tends to aggravate rosacea. Now, obviously, there's genetic factors. You inherit the type of skin, this Celtic skin with fair hair, blue eyes, skin that kind of burns easy. So if you have the Celtic skin, and if you happen to be working outdoors or you're outdoors a lot with sports or hobbies, then you're going to be more likely to develop rosacea. The good news is that it's very treatable. There's two aspects. There's the redness, which is usually due to broken veins and dilated veins. That's what causes the redness, the blood vessels being kind of bigger than normal and more visible. And then there's the pimples and the spots, right? So the pimples and the spots will normally respond to rosacea creams. There's one called Soolantra. It's a prescription only item, but it's really, really good. And you put that all over your face every night for 3 months. And that can help a lot to get rid of all the pimples. Very simple, very safe. There's no steroids, no antibiotics. And then if it's more kind of moderate severity, we might add in some rosacea tablets, like she mentioned, bimycin. That's a kind of an old-fashioned one. We tend not to use that anymore because there's more effective, safer ones on the market now. But they're basically anti-acne tablets. Even though this is not acne, the acne treatments will work in this condition, which is rosacea. So you'd often take these acne tablets for maybe anything from 6 to 12 weeks with the cream as well. And that usually gets rid of all the pimples. So that's good, right? And it may tone down the redness to a degree, but rarely gets rid of all the redness. But the redness is a lot easier to manage if you have no pimples, because you can cover it up with makeup. And she mentioned that, obviously nobody likes having to wear makeup every day. But if it's a lady, well, it's a lot easier than a man. Don't knock it, wear your makeup and, learn to live with it and feel comfortable and confident, right? Because that's the problem. You go to a wedding, you go to a party, you have a big red face, it's not, it doesn't help your self-esteem and your confidence. Whereas good makeup, and there are special makeups for hiding kind of extreme redness called cosmetic camouflage. So sometimes you put on a green makeup first and then a brown one over, and the green kind of counteracts the redness and then the brown kind of neutralizes everything. There's one called Dermablend. It's quite a common one by Vichy, and that's really good coverage. It'll cover just about anything. And so because it can take months and sometimes years to kind of get the rosacea under control, particularly the redness. Now, there is two other things that are available for the redness. I mean, obviously, the number one thing is to wear sunblocks. High factor sunblocks, like a factor 30, and a hat that comes out over your ears. That will help to make sure it doesn't get any worse, and it may reduce the risks of getting more pimples back, because it's often a relapsing condition. You clear up the pimples now, you might be left with some redness. 2 years' time, it breaks out again. Whereas if you wear hats and sunblocks, then that will reduce the risks of getting more relapses. It also reduces risks of skin cancer, and it also reduces the risks of wrinkles. So it's a win-win scenario.
Win-win, exactly.
The only downside is you probably have to take extra vitamin D in the winter, but that's a small price to pay. There's two other things for the redness. One is a drug called Merveso. It's a cream that you rub on, and it just shrinks down the blood vessels for 12 hours. It can be really good for some people, love it and do really well with it, especially if they're going to a wedding or a party. Other people don't like it because after the 12 hours it wears off, and then sometimes the blood vessels dilate up and you end up redder than ever for the next 12 hours. You get a rebound. It doesn't always happen, but it happens in some people, so you have to be careful with that. It's a prescription only item. You have to get that from your GP or skin specialist. And the last thing that's to be considered for rosacea, because we can get rid of the pimples with creams and tablets, but we can't get rid of the redness. But lasers can do really well with the redness. So special lasers, there's one called a pulse dial laser. This is a special laser for red blood vessels, and maybe 3 sessions of lasers 1 month apart can get the redness down by anything from 75% to 90%.
Moving on, a listener was wondering about stress and the effect on your skin, and they're wondering, is stress the number one cause of psoriasis and dermatitis?
That's a really good question, right? In my view, and this is my own personal view, that stress almost never causes a skin condition, but it always aggravates, nearly can aggravate almost any skin condition. So for instance, stress doesn't cause psoriasis. It's a genetic condition. You're born with the gene. You get that from your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents, and they may be other triggers, like, you know, maybe a drug that you're on for your blood pressure might trigger your psoriasis, or too much alcohol, or, sunburn or some kind of damage to the skin can trigger off a psoriasis. But psoriasis often triggers off for no reason at all. You can get psoriasis in children, and they're not stressed by and large, you know. Happy child, and all of a sudden they just get psoriasis. Now, psoriasis can cause stress, but can stress cause psoriasis? I don't think so. But it can aggravate it. So if you already have psoriasis, and then there's a bereavement or financial problems, or you're fighting with your boss or so forth, that will make your psoriasis worse. But stress makes everything worse. Period pains are worse. Dental pains are worse. Everything is worse if you're under stress, right? And we should do everything in our life to kind of manage stress, you know, because, you know, it's a vicious circle. Then you get stressed, your psoriasis get worse, and then you get stressed about your psoriasis, you know. So I know that doesn't really answer the question, but the thing is that I think a lot of doctors kind of use it as an excuse when you can't explain something. You say, oh, it's stress, you know.
Yeah.
That's not good enough, really.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's true. Absolutely.
And we should all deal with stress. But like things like alcohol abuse is a far more common trigger. So if you're stressed and you're drinking too much, it's not the stress that's causing your psoriasis. It's the alcohol.
Okay, David. We're going to take a quick break. A reminder again, we're taking questions this week on skin issues only. 083 300 3300 if you have a question for Dr. David Buckley. You're listening to Talk About, just coming up to 16 minutes past 2 on Radio Kerry. Back with you in a moment.
Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 100 years of advanced medicine and exceptional care.
Now we're here with Dr. David Buckley from the Kerry Skin Clinic, answering questions to do with skin conditions. This next one, David, comes in from a lady in her early 60s. She says, I have a patch the size of the palm of my hand on the side of my leg above my ankle. It was red and stinging at times and very sore to touch. My GP said it was veins, but I had them done last year and the patch is still red and still stinging and still very sore. So this listener wants to know any advice.
Yeah, she gives a really good description.
She does,
It's amazing, isn't it? You can tell so much. Obviously, a photograph would even be better, but we don't have the luxury of that. But again, we're taking her age and her sex into consideration. Women get more varicose veins than men. And if you have varicose veins, you can get varicose eczema. This is where the veins leak a bit of blood into the skin. That blood then irritates the skin and causes an allergic kind of reaction, which causes dryness, irritation, and then you itchiness, and then you start scratching it, and eventually it spreads and gets sore and whatever, you know. So there's pretty much almost nothing else I can think of that would cause a patch the size of your hand on one lower leg and not on the other. I mean, psoriasis could also come out in the lower leg, but usually it's as a result of the veins. So even though she's had her veins treated, you never really get rid of varicose veins completely, you know. And if you have your veins done, you should really wear support stockings even after the surgery, because that lessens the chances of the veins coming back, or at least delays the length of time before the veins will eventually come back and start bubbling and leaking again. And of course, varicose eczema, which she has, perhaps a patch of psoriasis, which has been aggravated by the varicose veins, is bad enough. But if she got an ulcer, that would be a lot worse, you know. So the first thing to do is to start wearing support stockings. These usually have to be measured. Kind of, your pharmacist or your doctor would measure your leg and get them correct sizes. They go from the toes right up to the knees. They're quite tight and a bit uncomfortable to wear at the start, but you do get used to them. And eventually people kind of find it's uncomfortable to go without them because they stop that heavy leg kind of feeling. And then with the rash itself, well, then she needs treatment, whether it's eczema or psoriasis, there might be slightly different treatments, but usually a moisturiser, a good greasy moisturiser. She has to avoid soaps, to use wash with a soap substitute, and perhaps a topical steroid, like a bit like Betnavate, for instance, is quite safe, right? Unless there's an ulcer, you wouldn't use Betnavate on that. And usually that can calm it down, right? When she's resting, she should keep her feet up at 30 degrees from the horizontal, so lie out on the couch and put it up on the armrest. That helps, you know, in the evening if you're watching telly or reading the newspaper, just to rest with your feet up, not on a footstool, but like up high, like 30 degrees. I think that will help her, so she go back to her GP and get treatment for the rash itself now that she's treated the veins, but get into your stockings.
Okay. Listener says, can you ask Dr. Buckley, I have an 8-year-old child with perioral dermatitis, am I saying it right? Mm-hmm. This listener is wondering, what's the best treatment, oral or cream antibiotics?
Okay, so this is a condition called perioral dermatitis. Perioral means around the mouth. Dermatitis, it actually looks more like acne. There's tiny, tiny pimples around the mouth. It's nearly always in girls. You didn't say it was a boy or a girl?
No, just as an 8-year-old child.
Okay, so yeah. It's nearly always girls. Very, very rare in men and boys. It's most common in adult females, usually in kind of 20s and 30s. And it's this rash. It starts maybe on the upper lip or on the chin, and eventually it can spread all the way around the mouth. In fact, sometimes it can even go around the eyes. The worst thing to do with this rash is to put a steroid on it, because that will actually feed it and spread it. So even a weak steroid will aggravate this and spread it. So for instance, you can buy 1% hydrocortisone over the counter in the pharmacist, and because it looks like dermatitis, people are tempted to put the weak steroid on, and sometimes the pharmacist, you know, recommend it because they may not recognize this condition, but that will make it worse. So if they're using steroids, they have to stop it, and if you have this rash and you're using steroids, when you stop it, it gets a hell of a lot worse. So you have to be aware that the skin will rebound and the rash will get worse before it gets better. The treatments depends on the severity, like all rashes. If it's mild, a topical treatment, like an acne-type treatment, will work, like a topical antibiotic. And if it's more moderate, we would maybe use an oral anti-acne-type treatment. And there are special ones that you can use in children. Like, for instance, erythromycin, it can be used in children, it can be used in pregnancy for women who get this rash, if it's bad enough. The thing is, no steroids on the face if you have perioral dermatitis, and it's either topical or oral or both sometimes.
The person has come back to say it is a girl, and it's mostly under her nose, which is what you suspected. Yeah.
The secret there is that if the rash goes right down to the lip margin, then it's probably not perioral dermatitis. It's just ordinary dermatitis, contact or dermatitis, maybe from lipping. They lick their lips, kids often, or lip smackings, where you kind of roll your lips and the saliva then gets onto the skin where it doesn't belong, and it irritates the skin. But that rash will always come down to the lip margin. Whereas perioral dermatitis, there's usually a gap between the lip margin and the rash itself. So this clear gap of normal skin before you get up to the rash that circulates the
Now we've a chap who got in touch. I'm not really quite sure what he's asking, but he just says he's a guy in his 30s and he's a lot of redness in his neck and chest area. Now I'm assuming he's just wondering what it is and how to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Again, a man in his 30s, if there's got a rash, he didn't say pimples, you could get acne, but it doesn't sound like acne, and I think he probably would recognise that. So he's got a rash in his chest and back. Probably the most common rash that you get in men on the chest and back is...
Neck and chest,
would be seborrheic dermatitis, right? So this is a rash that's kind of linked with dandruff, so we'd like to know whether he has dandruff or not. And sometimes you can get the rash on the side of the nose and maybe on the eyebrows, but classically it occurs on the breastbone of the chest. Maybe on the neck as well a little bit, and sometimes between the shoulder blades in the back, right? And that's typical of seborrheic dermatitis, which is a kind of a dandruff-free rash that comes down onto the body. It's quite easy to treat. You just get a good dandruff shampoo, like for instance Nizoral shampoo. You can buy it over the counter in the pharmacist, and you wash your hair 3 times a week with that. Maybe rub some of the suds onto the rash on the chest and neck as well. That might help. And sometimes you might have to use a kind of a weak topical steroid for the rash on the chest and neck. Psoriasis is the other thing that can cause a rash on the chest and the neck at that age group. That usually is more florid and more red and angry and more scaly looking. And there may be a family history of psoriasis. So if he had psoriasis, he obviously needs to go to his GP, you know. But it's nothing dangerous. These things are just a bit uncomfortable and unsightly, but they're nearly always treatable.
Now, we have a 45-year-old female caller, David, who says, is it possible that perimenopause hormone changes can cause facial spots? And if so, what is the best management? I never had acne when I was younger, and this started around a year ago and is intermittent.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I hear of a lady with an acne-type rash on her face, I'm thinking rosacea. She got rosacea. And sometimes rosacea can look very like acne, except it's not always as floridly red as you might expect. Sometimes it's only a little bit red, but very spotty. And certainly she's at the age where she would be at risk of getting rosacea. You can get acne in your 40s, but that's rare, and you wouldn't get new acne in your 40s unless you're on some kind of hormonal treatments. So, for instance, some of the oral contraceptive pills can make acne worse, like the mini pill that women at that age might take, or some of the implanon, the bar that people get in their arms that you might use at that age can make acne worse, or even the IUD, the Mirena coil, is the coil with the hormone in it, can make acne worse. So maybe she's on some kind of hormonal treatment that might be bringing out acne, but it would be exceptionally rare to get acne out of the blue
in your mid-40s.
Exactly. No, it yeah. doesn't really happen unless there was some kind of hormonal trigger.
Okay, I'm just going to squeeze one more in, David. A female in her 50s, she has bags under her eyes and in her upper cheeks. She says they're called matter bags. Is there a remedy?
Short answer,
no. It's just part of ageing, is it?
Yeah, it's really, really difficult, you know. I mean, again, people don't want to hear this, but like, you know, it isn't easy, right? I mean, if she has big bags, okay, maybe ocular plastic surgery. I mean, that's a big job, and unless she's private health insurance, it could be very expensive, right? And that would help with the bags for sure. But the black rings under the eyes, that's really difficult. And again, makeup and sunblocks, you know. I mean, you put on makeup, nobody sees it, you know. I mean, like, so, you know, why fight it? Just put on the makeup and get on with it, you know. Yeah. But, you know, lasers won't help with black rings under the eyes or bags under the eyes. There's no creams that will help if it's that extreme, you know. So it's either surgery or makeup.
Yeah, okay. David, we better leave it there. Again, loads of questions for you that we didn't get to, but thank you for giving very comprehensive answers to the ones we did go to. Really appreciate you coming in. You're available at the Kerry Skin Clinic if anyone wants to find out more.
And most of these problems, obviously your own family doctor can manage most of these problems, you know. Sorry, just to clarify, the bags under your eyes, that wouldn't be covered by private health insurance.
No, I was
that's
thinking
cosmetic,
that. Yeah.
Cosmetic, and you're talking like maybe 5 or 10 grand there, you know.
You are, yeah, absolutely. Okay. David, so you're at the Kerry Skin Clinic if anybody wants to find out more, or as you say, most GPs will be able to refer on if necessary. We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming in again this afternoon, Dr. David Buckley.